Thanks for checking out Taste of Country Nights with Evan Paul on demand. We got Dasha in the house.
Hey.
What's up, girl?
What's up?
It's been a long time since you've been in here and we diagnosed you with celiacs. I don't know if you remember.
We did talk about that. Yes.
Yeah, but
it's not doing great. I still eat fried chicken.
You're more than that, though.
Thank you. I think so, too.
The Opry just released a recorded version, one of the first few that they've done ever of Oh Anna.
Mm-hmm.
Why this song? Why the Opry? And how did it happen?
Well, this was the live recording of the first time I ever played it at the Opry. And I think it was the first time I'd ever played it live anywhere. It was unreleased. And it's such a special song about like where I'm from. And as a kid, I was so fearless and confident and wanted this career. And I kind of, it's an ode to like the little girl in me who just like had these big dreams, you know? And so I was like, this is the perfect song to play at the Opry. We didn't really know when it was going to come out or anything. Ended up coming out. Love the song. But I was trying to think of a way to kind of wrap up this era. Anna, the EP came out in October and I'm working on my new album now. And I was like, that was a really special night. Like on stage singing that song, it just felt magical. The whole room was just like on edge and it was amazing. So I was like, I want to release that recording of that night and the red dress and it was all dramatic and great. So I was like, this is happening. And here we are.
When do you think as kids we lose that like eagerness or that like fearlessness?
I feel like middle school.
Okay.
Takes it out of you. Because it's the first time like kids get judgmental. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, like where you sit at lunch is like, ugh.
A big time.
Yes, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And like who's in your group? And elementary school is so like elementary school. You know,
right.
you're a kid still. You're hanging out with kindergartners, you know? But then when you're middle school, you're all adult. People have braces and wear bras for the first time. And you're like, you're wearing a push-up. Your mom let you get a push-up. And then she's like, oh, and I'm like, oh. And it's such a big deal, you know?
I don't.
At least for me. You're like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't.
I feel like boys, it's high school, but for girls, it's middle school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah.
You're like,
kind
can't
of
relate to that.
All that out. Yeah. I
no
blocked
idea.
Out my high school.
Yeah.
Where were you emotionally or mentally the day that you wrote that song?
I was such a mess. I was not doing hot.
What happened?
It was like in the peak of Austin time.
Yeah.
And like, you have to understand, like all my dreams were coming true. This was insane. However, what I didn't account for was how much I would lose myself, not giving myself enough time to just be normal and, you know, do normal things. Like I was never home for like almost a year and a half straight. And after a while, after you've not acclimated to this life yet, it just wrecked me. I didn't recognize myself. I didn't recognize my personality or my sense of humor, or I couldn't figure out what I wanted to wear because I just lost that like center North Star that I've always had with myself. It was really scary.
How'd you get it back?
Literally, it sounds cheesy, but writing this song helped so much. I went to the session with Hillary Lindsay and Emily Wiseband and Chris LaCourt, and I know these guys real well. And they're like, okay, what party banger are we writing today? And I walk in and I just literally broke down. I broke down. I cried the entire session and I talked about how I missed myself. And we cracked the code and wrote the song about little me. And writing that song, I was like, I can't get her back. All I have to do is just channel what made me happy as a kid.
Were you nervous, you know? Like putting this out? Because you do have a good vibe of, you know, party vibe. Were you nervous about releasing this?
This is the most vulnerable song I think I've ever put out, because there's some vulnerable ones about like boys, but like,
sure,
who cares? The
Will
boy,
there ever be
you know,
more, though? Is this the only one?
No, I think there's more. I think what inspires me a lot in music is a bit more surface level, and I think the emotions are really deep, but the subjects are, I don't know, I like talking about love and my experiences and friendships and all that stuff. It's really hard for me to write songs that go so deeply inward like this one does, because I think it's hard for me to not get cringed out by it, honestly, is what it is. And this was like a perfect way to say like, oh, dear Anna, like this is for you, you know? I'm sure there'll be a day when I write another song like this, but for now, she does it. So
what's the vibe of the next record you're working on?
Summer party vibes. Wow. Drive the boat, baby. Drive the boat. It's going to be epic. I'm so excited.
Are you getting a boat?
I would like to get a boat. If you play my song enough. Well, I'll invite you.
Speaking of that, Spotify, Austin alone has over a billion views.
Yeah.
Have they sent you anything
for
free?
No, they haven't given me the thing yet.
Nothing?
I know. I'm sure it's coming in the mail. The Billions Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to eat some soup out of there.
Okay. Did you see what Morgan Wallen did with like four of his?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Hubcaps? I don't have four yet, unfortunately, but so I'm working on it, Morgan.
So when you do finally get your Spotify award, it is going to be a soup bowl.
I was thinking Tom Kaw. Thai? No. Thai food? No.
Oh, he's like, I don't fucking know. I know tomato soup. Oh, yeah, that's about it.
Cheddar broccoli?
yeah, Panera, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's like my favorite Thai soup. It's niche. Whatever.
That's
it's delicious.
Cool. How does that feel, though, computing the a billion times a song?
It's insane. Thinking of how many a million is, and then it's 1,000 millions. Wait, no, 10,000 millions.
I think it's 999,000 million.
Is it 100? Is it like basically 100,000 millions?
No,
yes.
No, 100. It's 900,000 million. Okay, 999,000 million. And then the next one is 1 billion.
So I know, but how 1 million times what equals a billion?
1 million times
100.
1 billion.
No, that makes a billion? No sense.
Where are we?
I don't know. I was a mathlete in high school too, which is so embarrassing because I literally cannot comprehend.
I went to mathnasium.
You did? Are we a bunch of nerds? What are we doing? Oh, no.
Okay.
I was like, is that too easy? Okay, 1,000 millions. We landed the plane, guys.
Okay.
1,000 okay. millions equals a billion.
Okay.
But that's a lot of
that's a lot.
Millions.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways.
Okay, anyway. Woo. Back to O'Anna. Give me the first.
That was a lot.
It was.
I need a sip of coffee.
I'm trying to recover.
Okay, reset.
Back to O'Anna.
Okay.
Give me, I'm going to ask you for a childhood memory from when you were under 10, the first one.
Okay. Just go?
Yeah.
Okay. My dad was holding me in the garage. I have this really weird memory, okay? I also think I'm a little bit psychic, so this kind of ties into that.
This is great.
My dad was holding me in the garage. I was like 3 years old. It was right before my parents got divorced, and he was wearing this black kind of button-up shark shirt. And I loved this shark shirt because I'd, you know, be in his arms and just look at all the different sharks, you know?
Aww.
And I remember saying to him, I'm so glad I chose you and mom as my parents.
What?
And he was like, what do you mean you chose us? And I go, before I was born, I chose you guys because I wanted to have a happy life. I said that to him.
Dude, when you were three?
When I was three.
Oh my
god. That was some like otherworld shit,
yeah,
you know?
Dude.
He still remembers it. And I was like, that is insane. Am I a genius?
Wow.
Who knows?
Wow.
So that's pretty cool.
You got a lyric. I didn't even know that you were gone till I was drunk on Broadway and they were playing our song. What song is it?
It was Austin. I was on Underground.
Wow.
I love Underground. Ugh. I have a really good DJ deck at the top. But I was in the bathroom on the second to top level, about to go up to the top level again. And I hear my song. And I was having a weird night. And I went to the bathroom to like, girls' bathrooms, it's a reset place, you know? Barely peeing happens in there.
Okay.
It's more just like a hang zone. I was having my reset. I was looking in the mirror and I was like looking in, you know, okay, well, sometimes, do you smoke weed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
You know, when you're high and you're looking in your eyes and you're in the mirror and you're like, those are the same eyes that were a kid one time. I was having one of those weird moments and I was looking in the mirror and I was like, whoa. And then the song starts playing and I was like, whoa. So that's what that lyric's about.
That's legit. I love that. Where do you splurge on things, on money? Like, are you like Pokemon or like clothes?
Do I look like a Pokemon girl?
No, but that's what they have on here.
Okay. Though. Well, no. I love designer shit. I love a designer purse. I have lots. You know, when something good happens, I'm like, let's go to Louis Vuitton.
Okay.
You know, I also just bought a Bronco. That was a splurge.
Oh, one of the new ones? Is it baby blue?
No, okay. It's white, but it has really, it's outside. It's a really nice, like light brown quilted seats inside.
Oh,
it's
that's beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Good for you.
And big old tires.
Good for you.
Get
Are you
lit
going
on
up
it.
To the Opry and stuff
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, come
okay.
on now.
Okay. On the other end, where are you a cheapskate?
I'm super thrifty, actually. Like random thing. I love Goodwill.
Okay, okay.
I love designer purses in a good way, okay?
That's
girl
crazy.
But, like, you find the best, like, random deals or, like, random vintage pieces or, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I love a Goodwill.
Is there a dad in country music that tells you to watch your money? They're like an underground? Like, is there someone out there going, like, you gotta watch your money?
No.
Okay.
Not really. I mean, my business manager is like, girl, you're kind of frugal. Like, go buy some things. And I'm like, one day I'm going to buy a really nice boat, okay? And I'm going to spend some money on it, okay? But for now, I'm good.
I want to ask you about this video here. Get nervous.
Oh, God. Look at that. I nailed that. I've been studying his moves for weeks on. Oh, and the spit there? That was good. I'm hilarious.
Is that his actual clothes?
This is literal clothing.
You got it out of his room?
I went into his dressing room. I texted his stage manager, and I was like, is Tucker going to kill me if I go raid his closet? And he's like, honestly, do it. And so I was worried about, look at his little legs, you know? I was worried that the jeans weren't going to fit over my thighs. Turns out we're the exact same size of pants. Look at us.
Who looks better in them?
Low key, my butt fills it up better, so okay. I think me, but I had his shoes on. They were flopping around, duck feet, had his shirt on, drew a mustache, his hat. Everything.
Wow. I didn't even notice you have his actual shoes.
His
okay.
literal shoes on.
That's
know, they
hilarious.
Look kind of
is
normal.
That a skull? Is that a dip can or makeup?
It's a neutral. Okay. He's sponsored. So I was like, okay, guess I'm going here.
Wow. You went really
in depth. I fully committed.
Good for you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. And then I got to ask you about this picture.
Oh, I saw the red and I was like, what picture is he about to pull off? That was me passed out on the bus in Europe with my red light mask on because it makes you beautiful.
Okay. And the shirt, what is that?
Oh, cowboy pillows. It's my really good friend's brand and I'm obsessed.
That's
right?
Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Peak moment.
Couple more. Last time you were here, you told us about an ACM after party with Post Malone. Jason Aldean was there. Mm-hmm. It's been 18 months. Who have you hung out with that has felt surreal since then?
Oh my God. Me and Jesse Murph got to hang out.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Last ACM's actually funny enough. My voice was gone. My notes had just come back. I couldn't go out and she wasn't 21 yet. So she couldn't go to any of the parties. And so she and I hung out in my hotel room for hours. And I was like, this is so fun. She's so cool.
That's yeah. awesome.
And then Kelsea Ballerini came to my show the other night in Florida. And we randomly hung backstage for hours. And she is the coolest girl ever.
You didn't know she was going to be there?
No. Best friends with my A&R Kelly. And so she randomly just like flew down to hang out with Kelly for a couple of days. And then she came to the show. And I was like, look at us all hanging out.
Like
this
you
is
were
great.
Just backstage?
Yeah, I had no idea she was coming. And Kelly's like, Kelsey's here. And I was like, yes.
Now, do you bring her up to do something?
No. She was just there to vibe.
That's
but
cool.
She's so, so sweet. She's funny. That girl
really?
Is funny. Yes. I love her. She's great. We had a good time.
And then you're going on tour with Russell Dickerson. Uh-huh. He's going to be visiting us tomorrow.
Ooh, fun.
Okay, so is there a couple questions that you have, maybe you, your fans have, you think, for Russell?
Oh, my God, on the spot. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Anything you've
Kenny,
ever...
does he... Okay, one, can he line dance or break dance or dance? Is he a dancer? Two, does he like elevated surfaces and dancing on them?
Okay.
And three, does he like doing shoeies?
Okay, that's all the things.
The fans just told me to ask. You got to ask him those questions now.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming by.
It's weird. Sorry, I don't know why I panicked. Thanks for having me.
I panicked. And as a bonus on this episode, we have Paul Cawthon who stopped by. Tell me, I want to jump right into the baby on the way.
Oh, yeah.
You're about to be a dad.
About to be a dad.
What would 30-year-old Paul say if I was going to say, hey, in 10 years, you're going to be a first-time dad?
Well, continue to wear a condom. At least wait 10. No, actually, I would actually really, I would just be thrilled because, you know, at 30, I was you know, just really cutting into it. So, you know, I couldn't afford a diaper, really.
Yeah.
You know, I was almost at the brink of kind of backing out of the business. And I got a record deal with David Macias and 30 Tigers and Logan Rogers and those guys here in town. And I promised that when I turned 30, if I didn't have a deal or something going, and on my birthday, on the 30th, wow. I got a call.
Are you serious?
It was insane.
That's
so
meant
it was
to be.
Like, it was
right
meant
there,
to be.
Yeah.
So I stuck it out, and I'll be 40 in April. So, and then May, I have a baby boy.
Has it softened you as far as like writing?
No. I told my wife the other day, I said, I'm not going to do these dead gum lullabies and all this stuff and go soft on everybody. I can't do that. I was like, I just can't. And then I write the sweetest little song that I've ever written in my life for my boy. But that's just for my boy, you know, it's not out there. But, you know, I continue to try to just rock out and try to light stages on fire because that's how I kind of squeeze out my sponge, you know? So.
Well, now with this new album, is there something off your last album that can bridge the music together or is it totally different?
It's totally different. I mean, if anything, I think the track Black on Black from the last record maybe could come over and, you know, be with some of the rocking songs I have on the Book of Paul that's coming out April 3rd. But I think that it's just a little bit of everything I love and everything I feel like the fans have enjoyed in the past, you know, all mixed in one.
So, like, production question on a song like Texas Swagger.
Yeah.
When you're writing it, do you envision all the layers that are going into it?
You know, my producers and I, we just talk it out and see how we want it to slap, you know, how we want it to feel and the emotion of it. And then we kind of just go down some rabbit holes and finally find the light.
How do you know when a song's done? Like, I had Blake Shelton tell me one time that he has to wait for the label to tell him to turn it in or else he'll keep just adding bells. And
no, it's just when it gives you the feeling that you were going for. And it's hard to kind of like differentiate that from production and being in the thick of it to completion. But if you just kind of, I usually get some good solid ears around me that I trust too. Bring in some people that don't have an opinion about it yet. And if it slaps and toe taps for them, then I have faith in that.
And with the uniqueness of your voice, do you find that songwriters have a hard time writing for you?
Yeah. You know, it's definitely, I've got my own thing. So, I mean, you know, I was writing with John Decius and Luke Dick and Josh Jenkins yesterday, and this guy's been, I had this little idea. This would be kind of a Big Velvet, a Paul Cawthon thing, you know? And so they do think about what they could present to me. But most of these songs on the Book of Paul, I brought in to the rights and kind of had a little bit of an idea. And then we kind of just went for it. So
you ever had like Big Velvet on the marquee and people think like a stripper's coming?
If I'm in Mexico, it's Grande Velveeta. And that and a stripper does show up. So yeah,
the donkey show up.
No, I don't know, man. Man, I was just never into donkeys, dude.
Who gave you the nickname? Officially gave you the nickname?
Guy who's slanging tacos in Dallas, Texas, said that my voice was big and velvety. And I was walking back to my hotel room, the Belmont Hotel in Dallas, and thinking about Big Velvet. And I was like, wow, yeah. I was like, that actually has a ring to it, you know, and maybe I am. I'm a big dude. My voice is velvety. Why not? So, you know, it ended up being the thing. It's my Ziggy Stardust.
Right?
Yeah.
What do you think about Texas getting all this love lately, especially with, like, choosing Texas?
Oh, man. You know, I was just almost mad that they did that song because, I mean, they're bringing everybody to Texas now. I thought it was a secret. No. I'm pumped, man. Texas is home, obviously, but it's a great place to visit. It's a great place to see. I mean, it's got a little bit of everything, and, you know, people will be writing about Texas forever.
What's the best?
I've never heard of all my exes live in Rhode Island.
Right.
I just haven't, even though I love Rhode Island. But I've never heard the Rhode Island home state song. Have you?
I have not. No.
See, I'm there's sure. just
Isn't
certain
it like
things.
Live lot, free or die.
I wonder if Texas is sung about more than anything in country music as far as a state's concerned.
Probably not. Maybe the Cowboys, but
yeah. A truck.
Well, yeah. What is your favorite place to perform in Texas?
Probably Green Hall.
Okay.
That's kind of our mother church down there, you know? I just love going back to the Hill Country. And, you know, I started out there playing Saturdays, 1 to 4 o'clock in July, sweating my tail off, no AC in there. And just open up the windows and dance hall style. And I cut my teeth all the way up to being able to sell it out multiple nights. And
that's awesome.
All my best friends and family show up. So it's just it's how I want to feel going on stage.
Do you feel like a country music outlaw, as people label you?
Well, I've broken the law a lot and I've gotten caught a lot. So whatever you want to call me, that's the bat. There's the honesty. I don't try to break the law, but, you know, I do.
What are we felonies?
No, close. You know, we had to, you pay lawyers in Texas and some things go away. You got to keep your old expunger.
Who do you get compared to? If I had to guess, I would say like Waylon and people like that.
Yeah, I always get the Waylon or Roy Orbison kind of vocal vibe or Johnny Paycheck. Early David Allen Coe, not the late kind of. You know, more elegant, elaborate, and racist stuff on the end. I'm not really into that, but you know, I do get wheeled into a bunch of different circles.
And you were talking about writing with people like Luke Dick, who writes a lot with Miranda Lambert and such.
Yeah, he was on that Choose in Texas.
Yeah. Who's really embraced you, and is there anyone that surprised you and been like, man, I'm a Paul Cawthon fan? And you were like, what?
Yeah, man. I mean, Kid Rock, Miranda Lambert, you know, all the, there's Post Malone, you know, a lot of people that I'm just like, wow, these are mega arena badasses, you know? So,
what did Kid Rock give me that? What did he say to you?
And I, one night he was in his pool or something with some friends and people that I knew that, and they were just jamming Cocaine Country Dancing, you know, one of my big hits. So, you know, him just rocking out to it, you know. I'm just waiting for him to go, my name is Cocaine. But he won't. He wouldn't do it.
And you've hung out with him? Or
no, I've never met him. But, you know, just through... you know, other friends and stuff and Sky or FaceTime and stuff. They'll, you know, I've been around, but I'll end up meeting him one day. But you know, Billy Joe Shaver was my guy. And, I thought he was the pinnacle of, you know, songwriting and outlaw or whatever you want to call it. I mean, the guy shot a guy in the face for, you know, and got away with it because he had the late, as of yesterday, Robert Duvall helped him out, get out of that whole thing. Got everybody, Willie Nelson, everybody showed up to the courtroom and got him out on from shooting a guy in the face.
What?
Yeah.
Am I supposed to know this?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, you are.
That's great.
Look it up, Billy Joe Shaver.
Holy shit. How's your health?
It's great. It's great. Best of health I've ever been in, you know. Last night, my wife and I were on the phone and she's like, you're not going out? And I was like, God, have you looked at my schedule tomorrow? And she said, you have never said that sentence to me in your life. What is happening?
Yeah, she's like, where's Paul?
You know, so, she actually helped me with all the health stuff, got me on a lot of supplements and, got me on a treadmill and start looking. Once you hit about 35 to 38 years old and touching 40, you start looking at, well, I want to live another 40. So,
right.
You know, so I'm into that zone.
Well, I saw and I read all about like the holistic approach and how you lost some friends and family. And who did you have to cut out of your life that most surprised you because they didn't agree with your treatment?
You know, people that want to bash you for doing something with your own body, you know, those kind of people, not too much my family, really, but some friends that just think that they know what I should do and how I should approach my journey with cancer and all that stuff. And I just crushed it. You know, I'm mentally sound, and my wife was my backbone during it all. And, you know, you feed cancer, your body does, with glucose. And I read a bunch of books. And if any of you are out there trying to find out what I did, you can read a book called Chris Beats Cancer. And he had stage 4 cancer, and he reverted it all just by what he ingested and the supplements he took and exercise and red light therapy, sauna, you know, just a bunch of different things. There are different paths up the mountain. And I'd never be one to tell somebody to not go get a surgery or not do it this way or that way. It's your journey, and I'll back you to the wall and try to support you best I can.
Are you still involved in the Church of Christ?
You know, you can't wash that off with Babbo and wire brush. So that's in my heart, you know. But my pulpit changes night after night now. You know, I don't have to. Where two or more are gathered, he is there. It says it in the good book. And I try to, if I don't have at least one other person at the show, I don't know what I'm doing right. So I try to, you know, not stuff religion or anything down anybody's throat, but I like to try to lead by example because I am a sinner. I do fall short. And, but I am a believer in Jesus Christ and the Lord and the light. And I sense that there's the light and the dark out there, and you can hang with who you choose. So.
Who would you love to, let's say you had a duet ready, who would you love to, who's your dream collaboration?
Well, I have been able to sing with some incredible people, and some of my dreams have definitely already come true. I would say I'd love to sing a song, I'd love to do something with Hardy right now.
Yeah.
Like, to be honest, I loved what he did with Steven Wilson Jr. and all those guys. I'm a real fan of those, that crew. Just hardworking Americans, you know.
Dude, Steven Wilson Jr.'s Gary, the song.
Yeah.
Whoa,
that'll knock your socks off, man. It's all, those guys are top notch. I just appreciate the musicality and the hard work and effort and the love for the song that they display.
I want to talk about real quick your stage outfits and stuff. Do you wear those on a daily basis? Like if Paul went to the grocery store?
Hell no. A fur coat? Like, man, I tell people, man, I'm lucky enough to be able to put on my cape, you know, and be Superman for a little bit when I go on stage. And that's when I harness that big velvet energy and, you know, I'm just a regular old dude. I bleed red. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're not tempted to be big velvet at home every once in a while.
Oh, man. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It'll happen. I showed up at the country club in pajamas during Gucci pajamas and loafers and a big old hat. They're like, what the hell? Like purple obnoxious pajamas.
That's beautiful, man.
So, yeah, I'll bust it out every now and again.
Hell, yeah. Well, give me your rest of 2026, man.
Shoot, I don't look that too far ahead. I'm Tonkin and Tejas tour in March. And, you know, I'm playing up in Montana. I'm playing out in California. I'm playing in Nebraska. I think we're going to be playing here in Nashville at something that sounds like Smyman Auditorium, but it's the Ryman. I think we're going to be doing that.
Oh, that's nice.
The date is going to be dropping soon. I don't want to pull too many cats out of the bag, let too many out, but, you know, I'm just busy. You know, paulcawthonmusic.com, my tour's up there. All the merch, all the stuff, anything you'd ever want, Paul Cawthon is right there. But, man, I'm just hustling. I've got a baby coming in May, so it'll kind of pipe down for a little May and early June, and then I'm back out with the full band. But as far as up close, that Tonkin and Tejas tour starts in March and ends in early April.
Any plans on bringing the fam out with you?
Oh, yeah. Once, you know. what's the, you know, baby can, you know, drive. I'm just kidding. No, we're gonna deck out the bus and put four dog kennels and a baby crib, and wow, we're gonna do the whole thing.
That's awesome.
So yeah, my wife, we're looking forward to it.
Cool, man. Well, dude, thanks for coming by.
Dude, taste the country, tastes good.
Hell yeah, baby.
Thank you so much.
Okay. All right, let's bring in Billy Dukes to talk about these two interviews here.
You know what's great about Dasha is she has stories at the ready. Like, you kind of threw her some questions, not curveballs, but maybe questions that would take someone to some time to think about, like the story about her childhood. And that wasn't edited. Like, she, boom, went right to that story as 3 years old, her dad, the shark shirt, thinking she's psychic and thanking him. Like, that was right where she went, and her stories are very good.
I didn't think about that. Yeah. Someone might have thought we edited that together. No, she does. And she's just bright. She has so much in her head that I feel like she's ahead of everybody constantly. But when you look at her, she looks like a fun party girl. I don't know. Am I allowed to say that? And then when you talk to her, you're like, oh, okay.
No. There's definitely some depth there. And I think she spoke to that a little bit in saying that, you know, she just likes singing about like things that are a little bit more surface level.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what hits her. But that doesn't mean that there's not some depth to the lyrics. And even a song like Austin, like it's a line dancing song, kind of like there's a story there. Like,
yeah,
there's a little depth to the story of Austin and certainly a lot more depth to Oh Anna.
And it, excuse me, if you don't know, the funny thing about Austin is I always say that she wrote that song on accident because they went into the writer's room that day to write something different, she told me, and then they couldn't come up with something. And then while someone was like having a bathroom break, she started belting out like, you know, did your boots start working? And that became this huge hit song for her. So, yeah, but it's also a party song, but it has meaning to it. But Oh Anna is definitely like something a lot deeper that I don't know if her audience knows that she has that in her.
And if you're kind of new to her, like Dasha, I think her real first name is Anna.
Yeah, it took me a minute to figure that out. Yeah.
Yeah, her full name is kind of exotic. Let me get it up for you here. Dasha, Anna Dasha Novotny.
Say what?
Yeah, that's her full name. That's according to Wikipedia.
Okay, so her middle name is Dasha?
Her middle name is Dasha. Yeah, from California, but Novotny is her last name, which that sounds Russian. Hard to tell.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to see the 23andMe.
My genealogy there is a little bit different. But
how old is she? She's in her 20s?
According to Wikipedia, she's 26. She just celebrated her 26th birthday.
That's crazy.
A month ago, so.
Yeah, I mean, she's one of those people that are definitely is like an old soul. Like it wasn't like talking to a 26-year-old, I didn't think.
So I have one little gripe.
Let's go.
She said she's thrifty, and she talked about how like she likes to go to Goodwill. Like I want more evidence of her thriftiness other than, because there's some people who aren't thrifty that just like kind of shop at Goodwill for like ironic purposes.
Right. Especially in her generation.
Yes.
They all go to Goodwill to like dress. Like that's what they do.
Right.
I don't know that it's being thrifty, but also she goes, first she says she loves designer bags. She has so many of them.
Right.
Then she goes, I bought a Ford Bronco. Then she goes, I'm thrifty and my business manager tells me to spend more money. So somewhere in the middle is the truth, I would say.
Now people can certainly be like, have an item, something they spend a lot, like you spend a lot of money on shoes.
Right.
And that's a pricey purchase.
Yeah.
But you also shop at the Aldi.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And like,
yeah,
you know, the Walmart. And
so right.
I need something like that in like her story for me to believe that she truly is thrifty.
Right. And you know who really nailed it with that is Priscilla Block with her song From Goodwill to Gucci. Cause that she nailed it. You know, if you're going to talk about Goodwill, you have to, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with that.
You think Priscilla Block is? I think Priscilla Block probably is.
I think Priscilla Block is more thrifty than Dasha.
Well, Dasha hit really big, like right out the gate, right? Like she released a little bit of music, but then boom, her first real single, Austin, hits.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's a Spotify billionaire bowl. and with her. Priscilla had to hustle.
Yeah, and I looked that up. So, by the way, so for Spotify, kind of for a billion streams, it says that the artist gets 0.03 cents per stream. So for a billion streams, the artist would revenue generate $3 million. You know, then they have to pay everybody, and they might not get that from the label, but that billion streams generates about $3 million for her, for somebody.
Yeah, split amongst all the songwriters, so there's two or three on it.
So she probably got, what, a nice quarter mil check out of that?
I would guess more than that. Okay. Just from Spotify alone, I would guess half mil to a mil.
That's awesome.
I would think. And then, of course, you got all the other streaming services, YouTube, the actual physical, I mean, Apple Music and stuff like that pays out. So, yeah, that, I mean, that song, if she invested that, she's going to have Gucci money for life if, yeah. if she was smart with it.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll see. I don't know.
New music coming from her. All the songs that she's released, I've really liked, and some of them have kind of flown under the radar. She does a really good job. She's with her music videos as well. Like, they're very dramatic, very visual.
Yeah.
Like, she includes that in the storytelling. I like that the music video still has, like, some form of relevance in an age of TikTok.
Yeah.
And shorts. Like, people still strive to make great music videos.
And I don't know if that's just our genre or not. I don't really see too many other videos in my feed or whatever. But, yeah, I love that we're back to, like, making music videos, and not just for singles too. Like, if you're looking for a deep cut off somebody's album and you YouTube it, usually there's a video with it.
And even with like a music video, I mean, CMT no longer exists to play music videos.
Yeah.
So like, it literally is, you're just kind of releasing it to the sea of YouTube and hoping that what you've crafted kind of rises above the rest. I'm always a little surprised that people don't go harder on music videos. Like, To me, it feels like there's a space to make music videos almost like short form movies or TV shows that could really be celebrated on sort of a more mainstream awards scale.
Like, does Hardy do stuff like that?
A little bit. There was a music video I just watched recently that was like 6 or 8 minutes long. Oh, you know what it was? It was Chase Matthew. I was watching the Darlin' music video.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've seen that one.
I have not.
But it's like 3 minutes of action, of like, and then finally he gets to the song.
You like that?
I did and I didn't.
Okay.
I liked it, and then I thought it was high quality, but I was also just trying to hear the song.
Right.
I wasn't there to see the music video. I was here to hear the song.
Right,
so
right.
I'm like, come on, because I need a lyric or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, you're out on the porch and you put it on the Bluetooth. You got 3 minutes of garbage before your chicken's already cooked on the grill by the time.
Yeah, you can't playlist stuff like that, right?
Right, right.
Because it interrupts your playlist.
Right.
When you got like 4 minutes of action, that sounds like an ad. Like, what is this?
So we need music videos that are action within the time allotted in the song and nothing more.
It's a tough, real narrow target, I think, for an artist. But,
or you can play the song twice and just do two different videos back to back.
I guess maybe that's the way to go about it.
Yeah. I don't think you get dinged for having too long of content on YouTube, right?
Do you think artists get demonetized for playing their own music in their videos? I think they do.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Now, especially nowadays with AI.
Yeah, it's all automated.
Yeah, because before that, I'd be like, nah, I don't see some human going through finding all that. But
yeah, someone forgot to whitelist an acoustic performance, then your song gets taken down for copyright reasons.
That sucks, yeah.
That'd be not the best.
Or if somebody uploads the wrong version. And I often wonder about stuff like that. You know, like once a video goes and it has like a million views and you realize you put the wrong version or something, like you forgot an edit, like what do?
Yes. There seems to be some backdoor route, because like within YouTube, you can't edit videos necessarily, but it seems like if you know someone who knows someone, you can. I think Jason Aldean kind of did this with try that in a small town music video.
Oh.
Like he made some minor tweaks to the actual video itself.
After it had been published?
Yeah, because there was a whole controversy about it and for a lot of different reasons. And I don't know how he did that. Like, that seems to be something where you need to know someone at YouTube. Like,
interesting.
You and
interesting.
Maybe you have to be on like a Mr. Beast level.
Yeah, yeah.
Dasha, by the way, is going to be playing Breland's show. He's got a big charitable show, so maybe a Dasha Breland conversation.
That would be cool. Yeah, and those two would make a fun song. I know that.
Yeah, that'd be a ton of fun. And Breland, he comes to mind because we just had him in here for a little conversation.
Yeah, and that'll be coming up in a future episode here of Taste of Country Nights. Full convo with Breland and all your other favorite country stars that stop by. You can go back and check out the library, Taste of Country Nights, on demand.